Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
Some sad news tonight in the world of music. Singer Natalie Cole, who joined her legendary father in that unusual and unforgettable collaboration, has died.
Natalie Cole, daughter of actor and singing great Nat King Cole, became a music legend in her own right.
Natalie Cole was a superstar. One of the greatest things for me is just her interpretation of song and lyric.
With her velvety jazz-infused tones, she sold more than 30 million albums worldwide.
In the pantheon of music of the 20th century, Natalie Cole definitely is one of the greats.
With a career that spanned almost half a century, she won countless awards, including 9 Grammys.
You couldn't meet Natalie and not fall in love with her.
But along with her glittering highs came career-threatening lows.
That was the height of the war between her true self and her demons.
And ongoing battles with her health.
What's the treatment for this? And he goes, probably some chemo.
On New Year's Eve 2015, Natalie Cole, with her son Robbie at her bedside, died in a Los Angeles hospital. She was 65 years old.
I can see that just 3 months prior to her death, Natalie was still performing in huge concert venues around the globe, and she had lined up a packed schedule of shows across the U.S. So what's happened in her body that she's gone from planning an extensive tour of America to passing away in just a few months?
World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is the chief medical examiner in one of America's biggest cities. During his 20-year career, he's conducted over 4,000 autopsies, routinely working alongside law enforcement agencies to investigate suspicious deaths.
I've reviewed Natalie's medical history and all of the publicly available postmortem information. They provide clues on how she lived her life, and I hope will help me pinpoint the reason for this legendary singer's untimely death.
August 29th, 2015, 9:30 p.m., East Hampton, Long Island, 4 months before her death. A packed crowd in the Hamptons awaits. 65-year-old Natalie is the headline act at a cancer fundraiser. Despite a $5 million fortune, performing remains her lifeblood. But tonight, she keeps her audience waiting. According to reports, when she eventually emerges on stage, she appears confused and disoriented. And her performance lacks her trademark energy.
According to the reports of the night, Natalie was stick thin and she appeared visibly weak and frail. The first thing I need to do is find out what she was doing before the event. And I can see that she just returned from a tour of Southeast Asia. It's common for Westerners to fall ill from traveler's diarrhea, which is caused by bacteria, parasites, or viruses. The symptoms include stomach cramps, vomiting, and fever. And this could account for her frail appearance.
There's further evidence Natalie was ill on her return from the Far East. This footage was taken at Los Angeles International Airport just 10 days before the charity fundraiser in the Hamptons. She had just flown in from Manila on completion of her week-long tour. When approached by the cameraman, Natalie's management brushed her condition off as the result of a long-haul flight.
How you doing, Natalie? How was your trip?
It's been a 16-hour trip.
Okay, I understand that.
Natalie is obviously fatigued, and jet lag could play a part in her dazed condition, but her physical frailty is a concern. It's possible that she has a serious infection such as malaria or dengue fever, but when I check through the medical information, there are no records of a tropical disease. So What's going on in her body is unclear.
Natalie Cole was born in Los Angeles on February 6, 1950, the daughter of backup singer Maria Hawkins and singing legend Nat King Cole. She grew up in the exclusive Hancock Park district of L.A. Natalie described her family, the first African Americans to move into the area, as the Black Kennedys. Despite her privileged upbringing, Natalie would discover that her father's name wasn't always an advantage.
David Nathan, author and friend.
It was difficult for her. She wanted to be Natalie Cole, not the daughter of Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole is considered one of the great crooners. His voice instantly recognizable to millions across the world. But he died of lung cancer when Natalie was only 15. It was a crushing blow, magnified by a troubled relationship with her mother. She studied for a career in medicine, but found the lure of performing irresistible. At college, against her mother's wishes, she began singing at local clubs and bars. But to her dismay, she was routinely billed as the daughter of Nat King Cole. So Natalie chose to stay clear of her father's style of music.
Terry Lynn Carrington, jazz musician and friend.
She did the natural thing, which is to do something very different. So when she first came out, you know, it was R&B, pop. She had a rock edge to some of her stuff, gospel, sort of everything but jazz.
In 1975, she recorded her first single, This Will Be. It won her 2 Grammys, including Best New Artist.
The big thing for me is her sound. There's no sound like it. The timbre, the tone, the diction. It was pretty powerful as well because she could sing very strong and loud, and she could sing very subtle and soft.
She would sell over 30 million records worldwide. In 1978, she became the first female artist to have 2 platinum albums in consecutive years.
Peebo Bryson, singer and friend.
She was just the hottest thing in the world at that particular point. Just blazing.
But it was her move away from R&B and pop in favor of jazz in the early 90s, with the album Unforgettable with Love, that confirmed her stellar status. Her groundbreaking virtual duet with her father on the title track sold 7 million copies in the U.S. alone and won the Grammy for Best Record.
I think it was a wonderful full circle when she did the projects with her dad. You could really see where genetics came into play. You could hear him in her.
August 29th, 2015, 10 p.m., East Hampton, Long Island, 4 months before her death. Natalie has just finished her short 5-song set. Old friend, reporter Roger Friedman, finds her backstage. He's worried about her physical appearance, and he suggests she see a doctor. Natalie agrees.
According to the reporter, and I quote, "I'm having so much trouble with my immune system." She also goes on to say that she's having problems eating.
But there's evidence Natalie's ill health predated her tour of Asia, as friend and frequent collaborator Peebo Bryson recalls.
The last time we worked together was last year, August 2015. She looked ill to me. After the performance, we sat and chatted. She said to me, "I'm not eating poorly. I just can't keep it down."
Natalie's symptoms suggest that she could have a condition such as chronic gastritis. This occurs when the stomach lining becomes inflamed, causing pain and weight loss. It can be triggered by problems with the immune system. But the right treatment and diet should result in a full recovery. And I can see from Natalie's own accounts that there is something else in her past that could be behind her ill health.
In the final months of Natalie's life, was her dark past coming back to haunt her?
Serious problems with substance abuse meant that Natalie had diced with death on more than one occasion.
On December 31st, 2015, in a Los Angeles hospital, legendary singer Natalie Cole died, age 65. Now, one of the world's top forensic pathologists, Dr. Michael Hunter, is investigating her death.
Despite continuing to perform worldwide, Natalie's health rapidly declined in the 5 months prior to her death. She had confessed to problems with her immune system, and she became thin and frail. Precisely why she died, though, remains a mystery.
October 2015, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Los Angeles, 3 months before her death. Natalie arrives at the hospital. Her health has deteriorated. She's been forced to cancel a string of upcoming performances, including a major concert at Disney Hall in L.A. on New Year's Eve.
The doctors would be running tests to explain her deterioration. And looking into Natalie's history, I can find one possible root cause for her decline in health. And that's a history of drug abuse.
Natalie's drug use started while she was a senior at the University of Massachusetts in 1972. Away from her sheltered existence of Hancock Park, she was exposed to both black power and flower power.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
Natalie had grown up in a very privileged sort of white neighborhood. And then she goes to university and she realizes that African Americans, people that look like her, don't have it so easy. All of those things that she took for granted, who she was, what she had, what she believed in, she's reassessing all of that. This leads her down a very dark path.
By the time David Nathan met her in New York in the summer of 1975, Natalie was a full-blown addict.
I kind of figured out that it probably was a little bit more than cannabis. It was cocaine, for sure.
Natalie's cocaine addiction became apparent to Peebo Bryson when collaborating on a duet album in the late 70s.
If you're in a recording session and someone leaves every 20 minutes and they come back all jolly, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on.
Natalie confessed to both snorting and freebasing cocaine. Her love of freebasing would earn her the nickname the Base Queen.
Freebasing is a method of freeing the base cocaine molecule from the salt so it can be inhaled. The dense white vapor is inhaled through the lungs and instantly enters the bloodstream, giving a more intense feeling of euphoria to the user. Long-term cocaine use can lead to heart disease, known as cardiomyopathy. Walls of the heart chambers become stretched, thickened, or stiff, and this affects the heart's ability to pump blood around the body. It can lead to seizures, stroke, and heart attack.
Despite continued success in the charts with hits such as Mr. Melody, when journalist David Nathan saw Natalie at a club in Los Angeles in 1978, her cocaine use was taking its toll.
We're in the green room upstairs after the show, and I'm chatting with everyone, and this woman comes up to me. Like, I'm looking at her like, I don't know who this is. This woman is bone skinny, and she was out of it. She was really high, and she had really bad body odor. And everybody else in the room was, like, trying to avoid her. And I finally looked at her, and I'm like, this is Natalie Cole. I was really, like, shocked.
Friends were left to speculate as to the cause of her drug addiction.
I think she suffered from, of all people and all things, she suffered from a lack of self-confidence.
Feeling like a fraud is something that you'll often hear successful people speaking about. One has to wonder if she didn't feel like this simply because she'd been told for so many years that she was there because she was her father's daughter.
By 1982, according to friends, Natalie had reached rock bottom.
When I saw her, I was just really shocked at the physical toll that whatever she was doing at that particular time had done. I was just not accustomed to seeing her that thin. I think it was at a point when she really wanted help. I think there was a cry for help.
In 1984, Natalie entered rehab. She later recalled the exact moment she began to turn her life around.
I was a very angry, messed up, troubled soul. And then something happened. I went from hating to be there to being afraid to leave, which is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Natalie has displayed some symptoms of long-term cocaine use, such as significant weight loss. But I can find no evidence that Natalie relapsed after 1984. She had been clean for decades, and it appeared that she was living a healthy lifestyle. Long-term damage to organs such as her heart and lungs as a direct result of her cocaine abuse is therefore unlikely. So what caused her death is still a mystery.
November 2015, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Los Angeles, approximately 2 months before her death. Natalie's health is still cause for concern. She's now been in the hospital for around 1 month.
According to Natalie's friends, while she was in the hospital, she had a stent procedure. This is a minor surgery where you insert a stent or a wire mesh tube to treat weak or narrowing arteries. So I'm looking for clues to explain why she had this procedure and why she had such a lengthy stay in the hospital. Looking through Natalie's medical information, I can see that back in 2008, she was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness.
February 2008, Los Angeles. Natalie is in the studio, recording tracks for the new album, Still Unforgettable. This classy take on the American Songbook will win her another Grammy. Midway through a track, Natalie's phone rings. Her assistant takes the call and interrupts the recording. It's Natalie's doctor. 2 years later, Natalie revealed the reason for the phone call.
He said, "I'm a little concerned about some numbers I'm seeing here. I want you to go see a nephrologist, which is a kidney guy. Go to see him," and he says, "I want you to go see a liver guy."
A few weeks later, Natalie visited liver specialist Dr. Graham Wolf to get the results of hospital tests. Close friends Benita Hill Johnson and Tamara Engelstein were at her side. Dr. Wolf's diagnosis was a bolt from the blue.
Luxury never sleeps, which is why you need the Real Real app. The RealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury consignment. On the app, you can shop and sell top designers 24/7 from anywhere. Think Gucci, Hermes, Louis Vuitton, Rolex, and Cartier, all up to 90% off retail. Everything is authenticated by a team overseen by luxury experts, and thousands of new items arrive daily. Personalize your shopping experience with MyTRR. Save searches for your favorite designers and items in your size and watch new items stream in. Plus, keep tabs on your favorites. Just click the heart next to any item to add it to your obsessions. An app-exclusive feature allows you to share these obsessions with friends and family. Perfect for dropping holiday gifting hints. Have luxury items you no longer use? The RealReal app makes it easy to sell. Book an appointment on the app, track your items with your personalized My Sales dashboard, and get notifications when your items sell. I love using the RealReal app because I'm able to get on the app whenever I want and check and see if they have new stuff coming in. Download the RealReal app today or shop and sell your favorite luxury brands and get 20% off select items with code REAL. Plus, new shoppers get $25 off their first purchase. Available on the App Store or Google Play. Get the Real Real app today.
Some sad news tonight in the world of music. Singer Natalie Cole has died.
On December 31st, 2015, singing legend Natalie Cole's life and career were cut short in a Los Angeles hospital. Top forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating her untimely death.
Natalie had a history of substance abuse, but I've ruled out her cocaine addiction as the cause for her rapid deterioration in health.
Dr. Hunter believes the results of hospital tests 7 years before Natalie died might shed some fresh light. In February 2008, she was diagnosed with hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C is a blood-borne virus that principally involves the liver. The virus can be passed on through blood transfusions, tattoos, and the sharing of needles. So I need to find out when and how she contracted this virus.
Natalie was forced to admit to the darkest chapter in her life.
I was dating this guy who was a heroin addict, and I didn't know it. Until one day, he was hanging out with a bunch of guys, and they were all sticking needles in their arms. And rather than common sense, rather than, you know, turning around and saying, oh, I don't want any part of it, I like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, I want to see, too. And that day was the first time I had snorted heroin and eventually became addicted within about 6 months.
1975, Harlem, New York. Natalie is in one of the area's many drug dens. She had quickly switched from snorting heroin to injecting the drug. She overdosed several times. On one occasion, only escaping death by the vital intervention of a fellow user, who, sensing she was overdosing, injected her with a saline solution. But Natalie was regularly putting her life at risk. At a time when the danger of blood-borne viruses was still unknown, she was sharing needles with other addicts.
It's clear that Natalie contracted this virus during her years of injecting heroin in the mid-1970s. But hepatitis C can lay dormant for decades, and she lived with this virus for over 20 years before she received treatment for it. There are oftentimes no symptoms until the liver is already damaged.
I was great health. I was a workout crazy person for the last 10 years, probably. I had no symptoms.
While Natalie was not taking medication for the virus, she was at danger for developing cirrhosis. And that's where scar tissue replaces normal, healthy tissue, eventually preventing it from functioning. It can't be reversed, and it can be lethal.
On learning she had been living with the virus for almost 3 decades, Natalie was eager to find out from her doctor what, if anything, could be done.
What's the treatment for this? And he goes, probably some chemo, some interferon. I'm saying, well, what would happen if I didn't do it?
Yeah.
You know, because it's been 25 years. You know, and he said, well, eventually you'll just start getting really, really sick and da da da. And it wasn't a very pleasant diagnosis. So that was February. In May, I actually started the treatment.
The treatment typically involves an injection once a week for up to 48 weeks. Interferon is a protein naturally produced by the human body. It's released in greater amounts when fighting off a virus. For unknown reasons, a virus in the liver often becomes invisible to the immune system. This treatment, a form of chemotherapy, provides extra interferon that helps the body distinguish between cells infected by the virus and non-infected cells, so it can target and destroy the infected cells. And it's this extra interferon that causes symptoms such as fever, achy muscles, and fatigue. And this is called the antiviral effect.
Natalie was only too aware of the terrible side effects caused by interferon. Her brother Kelly had had the treatment before dying of AIDS in 1995. But by spring 2008, Natalie's liver was in an advanced stage of deterioration. She had no choice but to start chemotherapy. June 2008, Blue Note Jazz Club, Tokyo, Japan. Natalie's in her dressing room preparing for a performance. But the chemotherapy is having a devastating impact, as Natalie later explained.
I went to Japan against my family's wishes while in the midst of doing these injections. I was on chemo. I lost about 25 pounds. I was in a wheelchair. I was sick every single day for about 7 months. And I can tell you, it was quite an experience to try to get through 14 shows from my wheelchair. I managed to do 10.
It's grueling. It's two shows every single day. All that you can do is eat and sleep and try to get up and maybe get your body going a little bit. It takes a lot out of you.
Determined to see her shows through, Natalie had to resort to being wheeled on stage.
Chemo is a punishing treatment, but the odds of successfully clearing the virus are good. And Natalie's medical history does not point to the liver as being directly responsible for her death. However, I can see that the interferon used to treat the virus had dealt another devastating blow to her body.
November 2015. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Los Angeles. Approximately 2 months before her death. Doctors are assessing Natalie's x-rays. She's retaining bodily fluid, particularly in the lungs, and the pressure is causing her pain. Dr. Hunter believes he's discovered the root of the problem.
The documents show that Natalie had suffered from focal segmental glomerular sclerosis. FSGS is a chronic kidney disorder. The glomeruli, small filters in the kidney, become scarred and can no longer detoxify the blood. The damage to her kidneys appears to be from her interferon treatment, and Natalie had to start dialysis to keep her alive. Dialysis involves being hooked up to a machine via a catheter in the chest that washes the blood and pumps clean blood back into the body. The treatment usually takes more than 3 hours and is required 3 times a week.
The grueling treatment took its toll, as witnessed by David Nathan when Natalie visited London in 2009.
My sister went up with her every day, just sat with her while she was going through the dialysis. She was very, very uncomfortable. I mean, you know, physically uncomfortable. And but she also knew it was necessary for her to be able to live.
I can see within a year of starting dialysis, Natalie received a double kidney transplant, no longer needing the grueling dialysis sessions. However, a double kidney transplant carries its own risk. Most complications occur within the first few months after receiving the new organs. But eyewitness accounts tell me that in the months following her operation, Natalie appeared to be in good health.
The next time I saw Natalie was actually in Los Angeles after she had a kidney transplant. She was feeling better, feeling much better. Feeling like she was back on the road to recovery and things were going well.
The success rate for kidney transplants is high. The average life expectancy of the organ is 12 years, so having got this far, it's unlikely that her kidneys were failing her. However, Natalie would have to take immunosuppressant drugs for the rest of her life. Immunosuppressant drugs are crucial as they stop the body from producing antibodies that attack the new organs. But the drawback is these antibodies also fight off infections. So did the years of taking these drugs finally take their toll on Natalie? Did her weakened immunity succumb to an infection that her body could no longer fight?
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Multi-Grammy Award winner Natalie Cole died on New Year's Eve 2015. Millions of fans were left stunned by her unexpected death. Now, forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter, chief medical examiner in one of America's biggest cities, is trying to solve the mystery of her sudden demise.
I've established that Natalie underwent a kidney transplant in May of 2009. There is risk for any such operation, but the success rate and the life expectancy of the kidney transplants means that it's unlikely that her kidneys would have failed by 2015. However, the transplant requires that you take immunosuppressant drugs to decrease the chance of donor organ rejection. This would have left Natalie highly susceptible to infections.
December 2015. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Los Angeles. Approximately 3 weeks before her death. Natalie has been suffering from serious breathing difficulties. But according to friends, respiratory problems had been dogging her for well over a year.
It was the summer of 2014 at the North Sea Jazz Festival in Holland. I remember walking into the dressing room and seeing her and seeing how frail she was. She looked very sick to me. I was shocked. Actually, my eyes watered up, and I tried not to let her see that.
Natalie's ill health didn't stop her making it on stage, but performing was a struggle.
She sounded okay that evening, but it wasn't the Natalie that I knew. In between every few songs, she would, go to the side of stage and get some oxygen. So I knew that she was really fighting.
Natalie was struggling with breathing for over a year prior to her death. Shortness of breath can affect kidney transplant patients, and it's usually the result of infection. But I see here a clue that might give me a better understanding of why she was on oxygen.
February 10th, 1981. The Hilton Hotel, Las Vegas. A fire has broken out on the 8th floor. But Natalie has been told by staff to remain in her 24th floor suite. But at 8:45 p.m., Natalie is told to evacuate the building immediately. Trapped guests desperately try to attract the attention of emergency services below as the fire rips through the hotel. But when Natalie, along with bodyguard Nate Bowman, try to escape, they're beaten back by the thick, toxic fumes. They're forced to return to their smoke-filled room and wait for help. Firefighters would eventually come to their aid and lead them to safety. 8 people died in the tragedy, and over 200 others were injured, most from the effects of smoke inhalation.
Smoke inhalation can cause damage to the body by simple asphyxiation, which is the lack of oxygen. Two agents in smoke can cause damage, carbon monoxide gas, as well as very small fine particles. These fine particles are able to travel deep into the respiratory tract, reaching the lungs. Inhaling them causes respiratory irritation and shortness of breath. Doctors at the time gave her the all clear, and it's likely they would have checked for lung damage, but it's possible that there was some injury to the lungs that went undetected.
December 25th, 2015, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, 6 days before her death. Natalie's breathing difficulties are still serious, and she's been forced to remain in the hospital under observation. Despite her condition, Natalie is well enough to spend Christmas, her favorite time of year, with her family. According to family members, she tells them all how much she loves them. But just a few days before the new year, Natalie's condition spirals downwards.
The death certificate reveals cardiogenic septic shock. The septic part tells me that she likely contracted an infection while in the hospital, and this caused her to go into shock. Natalie's heart has suddenly stopped pumping blood around the body, and this is caused by inadequate circulation of blood as the heart fails to pump effectively and the blood pressures drop to dangerously low levels.
Natalie goes into cardiac arrest. The medical team managed to restart Natalie's heart, but it's in a severely weakened state. December 31st, 2015. At 9:26 p.m., Natalie's heart fails again. News of her death breaks the following day.
Some sad news tonight in the world of music. Singer Natalie Cole, who joined her legendary father in that unusual and unforgettable collaboration, has died.
I was just really shocked because my impression was that she was hopeful that maybe she would get past all this and that things would turn around in a really positive way.
I couldn't take it in. I was like, what are you talking about? Natalie Cole just died. It was completely out of the blue. It was really, really rough. I can't quite get that I won't see her again.
Dr. Hunter believes Natalie's kidney transplants undoubtedly played a part in her death.
Her immunosuppressive medication for her kidneys would place her at very high risk for infection. But looking further into Natalie's complex medical history, I believe the true reason for her death lies elsewhere.
Expert medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the death of singing legend Natalie Cole. On the night that the 65-year-old died, she had been scheduled to perform a New Year's Eve concert at Disney Hall in L.A. Dr. Hunter now believes he can unlock the mystery of her unexpected demise.
I can see that in 2010, a year after a life-saving kidney transplant, Natalie was diagnosed with pulmonary arterial hypertension. PAH is a rare lung disease that affects the pulmonary arteries that carry blood from the heart to the lungs to pick up oxygen. These small arteries narrow, restricting blood flow, and this puts severe strain on the heart. As the body can't get the oxygen it needs, it causes fatigue and shortness of breath, which explains Natalie's recent symptoms. There is no cure for PAH, and the average life expectancy is around 5 years. But with the proper medication and surgery, life expectancy can be extended by several more years.
Natalie had responded well to medication for a number of years. But along with the medication and surgery, adequate amounts of rest are also recommended, something Natalie's strong work ethic sometimes wouldn't allow. 3 months before she died, she was still touring the Far East.
She was going on to Malaysia and to the Philippines. Maybe that was asking a bit much of herself.
This footage of Natalie's concert in the Philippines, filmed by a fan, clearly shows her needing help walking onto the stage.
I think when you're in a weakened state and you ask too much of your body, then I think it can hasten your demise.
She has to sit down throughout the performance. When she returned from her travels the following day, her health was in decline. Yet she still found the strength to perform for charity.
When you're a creative person, you have to be creative. It's not really a choice. And I feel that she was tapped into that, and that's why she kept working.
Despite Natalie's grueling work schedule, Dr. Hunter does not believe it contributed to her death.
As long as she felt physically capable, there is no reason that she shouldn't have continued to perform. She showed remarkable strength and energy to perform as long as she did.
Performing and singing, I think, for Natalie, gave her energy. I think it was a source of positivity for her. So rather than seeing it as giving away my energy, I think that she drew it. She drew it from the fans. She drew it from the creativity. And I think also, you know, it spoke to her need to do this on her own terms, to stay positive, to beat this thing.
But the simple fact is that PAH is a progressive disease. And inevitably, even everyday tasks, such as walking, become impossible.
Dr. Hunter believes he's finally pieced together the evidence to explain what happened on the night Natalie died.
Eventually, her blocked pulmonary arteries caused heart failure. The right ventricle couldn't pump enough blood volume through the lungs, and fluid accumulated around her vital organs. When infection triggered her terminal shock, her heart quickly failed, and she went into cardiopulmonary arrest. Blood flow to her vital organs ceased.
Throughout her prolonged and varied health battles, Natalie bravely continued to pursue her passion with vigor. She was performing all over the world. As she said many times, she was lucky to be alive.
This is a hugely complex case. And looking at Natalie's medical history, it is incredible what she went through and the domino effect that was created by each of her medical conditions. Natalie admirably turned her life around in the 1980s, having been addicted to a number of drugs. And that is not an easy thing to do. But her 3 years of intravenous drug use resulted in her contracting hepatitis C. And this led her to develop FSGS and kidney failure, necessitating a double kidney transplant and chronic immunosuppression. This left her susceptible to an infection that triggered her rapid decline. However, it was PAH, a rare progressive lung disease, that ultimately killed her.
She really was a fighter and fought to the last minute. Even the last time she went to the hospital, she was still fighting all the way.
Mourners gathered at West Angeles Church of God in Christ in Los Angeles to bid farewell to Natalie. The service was marked by touching tributes from famous friends, including Stevie Wonder and Smokey Robinson.
Some people walk on the stage and you just know that you're, you know, in the presence of a star. Natalie was like that. You knew that this was her stage. She commanded it.
And the most amazing thing about Natalie Cole is the breadth of musical legacy she left behind that does literally span R&B to pop. So I think her legacy is that Natalie Cole really did transcend genres.
She survived all her demons. She faced it all and came out on the other side, a survivor and a winner.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.